Korf, ihr habt ihr nie Nord. Good to see you all. Trust your be encouraged and be blessed when you're here too. It's been a packed couple of weeks in the Christian calendar, hasn't it? Quite incredible when we consider what we've seen already today, what the Lord went through. Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and then there was the drama and the passion and the betrayal as leading up to his arrest. Good Friday, remember that he died on the cross for each one of us. And then we celebrated, and we continue to celebrate the fact that he's alive. He's risen. He is risen indeed. He is not here, he is risen. Great. And today we're going to be thinking about the impact that Jesus continues to have on our lives because he is risen. As the Holy Spirit reveals, if you like, the Lord to us. As he opens our eyes. And that changes the dimensions of our faith, or perhaps for the very first time we come to faith. Now, today, if I was to ask you a question about how you know it's coming to the end of the financial year for councils, what would you say?
Roadworks.
Tyne Bridge. Roadworks. A1. Roadworks. Teen Valley just beside my house. Roadworks. That's true, isn't it? Roadworks. It seems very often that roadworks seem to be the sign for council's year end. Well, I'm not going to talk about the council, you'd be pleased to hear. Local elections are coming up, but I'm going to skip past that one. Will not be too controversial. I'd like to consider roadworks, well, sort of anyway. Sort of. Specifically how the road to Emmaus worked in terms of the two people travelling along. Or perhaps, as we learn from our two friends, more accurately it would be to say how Jesus worked in their lives on the road to Emmaus. We see in the passage that we've had read by Elaine that it was about 7 miles, 11 kilometres, or if you're from ancient Greece, which apparently I'm close to being, according to Claire, that's 60 stadia. That's right, Norman, isn't it? 60 stadia? I'm just conferring with somebody who might have also known the Greek mileage system. Right, okay, 60 stadia. But on that road, just after the resurrection of the Lord that morning, I'd like to consider three road types on that road to Emmaus. Three road types. Firstly, there was a cul-de-sac. The literal meaning of cul-de-sac is dead end or dead passage. And the term, here we go, I'd like to give you a bit of knowledge as we go along here. The term is from the original French, which means bottom of the bag. There's nothing left, there's nowhere else to go. You cannot turn a corner, it's empty. There you go. And as we join our two travellers, Cleopas and his companion, we see that we're discussing everything that happened, and a lot had happened. We've already thought about that in three sentences. A lot had happened over that period of time. But metaphorically speaking, at least, they'd reached a dead-end street. It seemed that they were in some sort of cul-de-sac, weren't they? Jesus joined them, and somehow, by divine intervention, I guess, they were prevented from recognising them. And when Jesus came alongside, their two faces portrayed their feelings. They were downcast, they were downhearted, they were dispirited, they were discouraged, and perhaps even confused by what they'd heard. Claire's already referred to it, when the women had told them about the fact that the tomb was empty, that he was not there, that they'd had an angelic message. And as the Lord asks them what's wrong, they respond to him still with sorrow. That's incredible. They're being told this, but they were stuck. They're being told this. They responded with sorrow, perhaps a lack of understanding, perhaps even weakened faith. And they refer to our Saviour Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth. That's a fairly common phrase then. Fairly common phrase, not necessarily just among believers, but it was a common reference made by most people at the time. A powerful prophet in word, well, like a lot of folks, they listen to the word, but they don't necessarily hear what's being said. A miracle worker indeed, and as Jesus himself pointed out, so many came for the miracles, but they didn't notice the signpost of what it was pointing to, what the real message was. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. It appeared that they had respect for Jesus, but after his death were apparently reluctant, if you like, to call him Messiah, King, Lord. They called him Jesus of Nazareth. And did you notice that they all spoke in the past tense? They had hoped. It appeared that their consensus was, this was the end. Friends, you know, as believers, we should never travel in the cul-de-sac. It's true, isn't it? We shouldn't be looking at a dead end. We shouldn't be confined to common phrases or references about Jesus if we know him. Because we know that he's alive. Yes. That's right, isn't it? Yes. We know that he's alive in our hearts. You know, before when, I hope you don't mind me mentioning this, when Claire got emotional about it, well, what's wrong with that? Because we should be emotional about the fact that Jesus is with us all the time. He lives with us. He's with us all the time. He draws alongside. We must ensure that we listen and hear the Holy Spirit as he speaks. Because you know why? Powerful words require reactive hearts and souls. And every time the Lord speaks, we should be reacting. We should be responding. We should be people who are not just listening, but hearing what he has to say. And acknowledging the greatest miracle of all. We're alive in Christ if we know him as our Saviour. The gift of salvation by Jesus' sacrifice. You see, the cul-de-sac is finite. The cul-de-sac is restricted, limited, whatever you want to call it. But Jesus came to give us life in all its fullness. Jesus came to give us life in all its fullness. Hang on. I'm just checking that this is on. Yeah. Jesus came to give us life in all its fullness. Yeah. Right, isn't it? And as believers, we know that narrow is the road that leads to life. But it leads. It continues. It goes on. We'll have a wonderful destination. It's not a dead end, but it's an eternal, heavenly destination which is everlasting. So that was the cul-de-sac. The next road that we come across on the road to Emmaus is the ring road. It's the ring road. Now, if I was to ask for an example of a ring road, I don't know if you probably know one or two. M60 is a good example of a ring road. Goes around Manchester like this. M25, anybody ever been stuck on the M25? It's a nightmare, isn't it? You're there for hours. And believe me, if you've got me for company in the car, you don't want to be there for hours. It can be really useful to help us get so far to the destination, but the clue's in the name. It's a ring road. If you're not careful, you just go around in circles. And we'll have to come off it sometime. When we read the passage this morning, it would appear that the two friends were undoubtedly sincere in their anguish. Their faces set back, didn't they? They were downcast. It was likely that they were genuine in their ambition of being closer to Jesus and following him. We know this because they were there when the women spoke to them. So they were followers of Jesus. However, they continued to circle back to what they'd hoped for, not what God had ordained. This is what we expected. This is what we hoped for. They were considering their own interpretation of events rather than allowing Scripture to remind them of the truth. They thought that Jesus was going to come to set them free from the Romans, and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel would come. But it wasn't God's time, it wasn't God's plan at that point. Now, don't wish to be too critical, because we can easily make snap judgments, prone to make quick judgments on a natural level, rather than asking the Lord to guide us. We can all be guilty of trying to assess spiritual matters with human insights. But friends, we should be stepping back and allowing the Holy Spirit. We heard this on Friday. If you're here on Friday, Then Hayden spoke on the road to Emmaus. Can I just point out, at this juncture, we had the family service planned in November last year. He thought about that last week. So I'm just putting the mark down there. But it's true. We should be stepping back and allowing the Holy Spirit to be our counsellor, our helper, our guide, who we listen to. The children of Israel went down the desert for 40 years. That's a long time to go round and round. We don't be going round in our lives continually. We want to be progressing, going forward. Let's make sure we're not running round in circles. Perhaps we might even be trying. But if we're trying in our own strength, we'll still go around in circles. We need to submit to his will and wisdom. And we go back again to Zechariah. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. In Hebrews 5, the writer explains about Jesus being a great high priest forever. In verses 12 to 14, he, if I can put it this way, admonishes believers who perhaps were not recent converts and should know better, because it says this: though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Friends, let's make sure we're not stuck on a ring road and have to repeat the same things over again. It's good to remind ourselves of the truth, but let's move on in God. Let's mature in him. Let's keep moving forward, moving on, moving heavenward. And to be fair, Paul recognised the fact that it isn't always easy, and that he had the same, well, not perhaps not the same as you, but he captures the mindset that we need. In Philippians 3, 12 to 14, it says this: not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I consider myself not yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forget about the ring road, forget about what's behind and our own thoughts, and let's strive forward in God's strength. Not going around, not circling back, but rather going forward, going heavenward. Finally, and briefly, we see that this direction brings us to the last metaphorical road. Now, I think we might call this last road, if I'm honest. I didn't know what to call it. A heavenly highway? I'll take suggestions from you. A main road? Didn't seem to fit. Then it occurred to me, when we've avoided the cul-de-sac, when we've got off the ring road, we need to be on the urban clearway. I'm going to tell you why in a moment, but hopefully it'll be obvious. Or more specifically, the urban clearway. You see, it was this Jesus filled with power of the Holy Spirit, and that's the same Holy Spirit that dwells in us, if we know him, opened the scriptures that their hearts, the two friends' hearts, burned with them. The message, the path, the route, the reason, it all became clear. It all became clear. How important the inspired word of God is to direct us. That's right, isn't it? You've got to read it to know it, and you've got to know it to have the direction. The ups and downs we face on the urban clearway might be uniquely ours. Claire's already inferred that. And a bit like Gates said, there's a few potholes too. Potholes sometimes shake us and jar us, especially when a car. Well, I suppose you don't usually trip over a pothole when you're walking, but you know what I mean. They jar us, don't they? But you still keep going, because our destination is wonderfully assured. Jesus said it: I go to prepare a place for you. That's our destination. And our reading says, as Jesus broke bread, they recognized him. When they spend time in the Lord's presence, when they're open to him, when they listen to him, they recognize him. And it says we meditate on what he has done for us as we consider the depths of God's love, what he went through. Throughout the Word of God, we gain a greater revelation. Jesus was revealed, and we can have Jesus revealed in the Scripture, and God's will revealed in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit takes us further, deeper, higher. We become more rooted and established in him. Him, the Christ, the Lord of glory. But notice, we must continue in communion and walk in step with him. Our open, clear way is made by Jesus himself and him alone. Mark Reaney, who I had the pleasure of meeting, he was a law student from Liverpool and He was a law student from Liverpool, and he was also a poet, a Christian poet. And he wrote this simple two-line prose. He wrote lots of things, but this is the simple two lines that he wrote. If all roads lead to God, who controls the traffic lights? Simple, isn't it? But if all roads lead to God, who controls the traffic lights? Let me tell you, it's that God is in control. There's only one road that leads to him. There's only one road that leads to life, and that's through coming to Jesus in repentance and putting our trust completely in him. I phrase the road as the urban clear way because of this. On an urban clear way, there's no stopping. There's no crossing the traffic flow. There's no U-turns. There's no parting. The carriageway is one way only and designed for you and I to reach our destination safely. And that's what the Lord wants. For us to reach our destination safely. I said at the beginning, may there always be an impact on our lives by Jesus. And there was an impact on the lives of the two friends as they walked along the road. May Jesus always have an impact continually as we walk this road of life. Pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal afresh our Lord and enlarge the dimensions of our faith, or perhaps even start our faith, our walk with him. The Easter celebrations may have passed, but we're spurred on to greater things, to better things. And like the two travellers, let's get excited. Let's get excited and tell others. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. May we always be traveling on the right road.